Part of Virge's extended family lives in Wisconsin. One of his uncles moved out there and raised his family there. And Uncle Ivan and Aunt Millie had 8 kids, some of whom are now great-grandparents themselves. So you can imagine there's quite a clan out there. Well, the Wisconsin Wetzels, as we like to call them, used to, on occasion, call us up and say, "Hey, we're coming to visit. We're about 20 miles out. What's for dinner?" And you never knew if there was going to be 3 of them or 12 of them when they came. And these phone calls would send me into a mad rush of activity, trying to straighten things up and clean up the worst of the messes before 6 or 8 or 12 people would come streaming through the doors. Things would get shoved under beds and in closets, and the laundry, dirty or clean or whatever, would get shoved into the washer and the dryer, and just to get it off the floor and out of sight. And a quick sweep of the floors to get up most of the dog hair, and a quick wipe of the kitchen and the bathroom counters to get up any dried toothpaste or spills or whatever else might be around. And we would just rush around trying to make things presentable before we welcome them into our home. In our passage from John today, Jesus says, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Jesus and God are coming to make their home with us. Anybody feel like they need to start shoving things under beds? God is coming not just to visit, but to dwell with us, to make God's home with us. How on earth do you begin to prepare for that? Well, the good news is Jesus told us how. He said to love him and to keep his word. No housekeeping required. Just love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind, and follow in the ways of Jesus. Sounds pretty simple, right? Maybe, maybe not. You know, I see an awful lot of Christians all around the world who get step one. Boy, they do that one pretty good. I know a lot of people who truly do love Jesus with all that they are. They love his grace. They love his teachings. They love beyond love, the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. They love the resurrection and the hope that it brings. They love the miracles. They love gathering around the table. Man, they just love Jesus. But I think loving Jesus is the easy part. I mean, he's a pretty lovable guy. Looking at this story of a good, kind, forgiving, peaceful, gracious man and seeing in him the Son of God sent to take away the sins of the world, it is really hard not to love Jesus. But the problem is many of us stop there. We love Jesus and we think that's enough. But it's not. Jesus says it's not enough. Jesus says we must love him and keep his word. And that's the tougher pill to swallow. After all, Jesus asks things of us, things that make us uncomfortable, things that sound a little scary. Jesus says, love your enemies. Love, not just tolerate, not just turn a blind eye to, but love your enemies. He tells us that we must welcome the stranger. We must care for those who are different than us. He tells us not to store up our treasures on earth, in our homes or our bank accounts or our 401ks, but to sell what we have and give to the poor. Jesus says that we must take up our own crosses to follow him. But you know, his cross led to torture and death. Just loving Jesus is a whole lot easier. Loving him is comfortable. It makes us feel good. Following him, keeping his word, is a whole other story. But Jesus says it's important. Not just important, but he says it's required. In our reading from John, he goes so far as to say, "Whoever does not love me does not keep my word." So if we say we love him, but we don't follow him with our actions, then he's saying our love isn't really love. It's admiration. But without devotion. So the question we each must ask ourselves is, are we simply admirers of Christ? Or are we disciples? followers? Are we dedicated to following his way? If we want to follow, if we want to walk in Jesus' footsteps, if we want to serve as he served and love as he loved, it will mean that we will have to face opposition just as he did. People will tell us, you're giving too much. You just need to take care of yourself and your family, not worry about others so much. We will be told that those whom we are serving are unworthy or lazy or unappreciative or just not worth our time. We will be mocked and ridiculed, maybe even ostracized, but Jesus is worth it. He endured all of that and much, much more for us, for you and for me. So surely he deserves nothing less from us in return. But you know, even greater than these hardships that may come our way, if we truly follow Jesus, the benefits and rewards far outweigh all of that other garbage. First of all, Jesus says that we don't have to try to do all of this on our own. That we have a helper, an advocate, a teacher, and a guide. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will be with us every step of the way. And when we mess it all up, which we will, because we're human, we can't help it, the Holy Spirit will be there to get us back up on our feet, help us make amends for what we have done, and enable us to do better next time. Because you see, following Jesus isn't about being perfect as Jesus was perfect. It's not about our interior houses being spotless. It's about how we try. It's about how we see the pain and the struggle of others and we seek to make things better. And doing all of that for the glory of God alone. Following Jesus involves how we treat others in this world, not just how often we go to church. Now, don't get me wrong. Coming to worship is important, and it has a role to play in our faith. We come to church to learn more about Jesus' word. We come together for encouragement and support and love. We come together to lift our voices and our hearts in praise and thanksgiving to God and for all that God has given us. Our very life, our breath, our strength, for opportunities to serve, and most importantly, for giving us Jesus. Now think about it this way. I am a big Nebraska Cornhusker fan. I always have been. My family were Husker fans too, all of us. And so I learned from a very early age to be a Husker fan. I had a Go Big Red baby bottle, for crying out loud. Okay? But being a fan is different than playing the game. Fans sit in the stands and cheer, but it's the guys on the field who are actually getting the work done. Even in the midst of the game, sorry, I got ahead of myself there. Fans don't ever move the ball. It's the guys on the field. And when the game is going on, there are times that the players, those guys who are doing the work, they have to huddle up. They have to encourage one another, slap one another on the back, refocus themselves, regroup, hear a word of encouragement from their coach, get their game plan, get their game faces on, and then head back out to the fray. And that's what I'm talking about. Are you a fan of Jesus? Do you sit in the stands and cheer him on? Yay, Jesus, go you! Do all that good stuff! Or are you willing to put on the pads and get in the game? You might get hit. You might get hurt, but you cannot move the ball from the stands. But don't worry, because your team has your back. We call a timeout once every week, every Sunday morning, to huddle up and to reset our focus. And we have got the best head coach around. The Spirit of Truth will guide us, encourage us, and occasionally kick us in the rear when we need it, just as a good coach ought to do. But the best part, the very best part, we cannot lose this game. It's already been won. Just by playing the game, we've won. And what is our prize for winning? We get to dwell with God with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, today, tomorrow, and forever. And with that comes peace. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." We can have peace. We cannot be troubled or afraid because the game is already won. We have our teammates around us and our coach beside us. We may be bruised and battered, but we will never be defeated. Thanks be to God. Amen.